bring in Kevin McGran, the Toronto Star. What's his nickname going to be? Hainzer?
Oh, it'd be Hainzer.
Hainzer. Because, see, that is, now that's an issue.
Yeah.
I've always wondered. So, yeah, Hainzer.
Bozak is Bozy, but, you know, Hainzy would be Hainzer.
Right.
Kessel was just Kess.
Now, there
you know, you can't get, you know, you can't use all your creativity on one, on all the nicknames.
That's fine. It's just, it's I've often wondered about that. What do you make of these signings? What do these signings say to you, Mr. McGran?
It tells me that Mike Babcock is pretty much in charge, and he thinks this team can win the Stanley Cup in a couple of years. These have Mike Babcock's fingerprints all over him. This is a team that sees that it's really, really, really close in a parity-filled NHL. You know, they went 5 overtimes with the President's Trophy winners, and the President's Trophy winners are now not as good a team as they were. So they see him as, they see themselves as really close, a player or two or three away, experience away, smarts away, and they got those guys. They got really old guys, but they got those guys, and it tells me they think they're that close that they may as well start paying 37-year-olds $6 million for 3 years.
Here's what I find intriguing about this signing is the fact that Patrick Marleau at this stage of his career, you know, he's established himself in San Jose. Here he is moving a family. I believe he has 4. He's coming to Toronto. He's going to play in a hockey market that a lot of guys have stayed away from in the past. You know, this is a guy who should be looking at going to Pittsburgh and winning another and helping him win a Stanley Cup, and yet he's coming to Toronto. What does that say about the Toronto market to you?
Well, I think I don't know what it says necessarily about the Toronto market. I think players will always go where they get paid a lot of money.
Sure.
B, where they think they can win. And actually what I think it means is Patrick Marleau thinks this team can win better than the San Jose Sharks, who were in the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago, because he wants to win a Stanley Cup, no question about it. He's 19 years in the league, and he's been to the final once, and they lost in 6 games. So what it tells me is he thinks this team can win. I'm not sure I've ever really bought into the argument that Toronto's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I will buy an argument about taxes, and you know, some cities and states have better tax situations than others, so I will buy the tax argument every now and then. But I've never been one to believe. Blair, you covered baseball for years. Playing in New York City doesn't seem to bother any of the New York Yankees. I don't think playing in Toronto should ever bother a hockey player.
Yeah, it's I mean, the one thing is, I think maybe sometimes in Toronto, it's especially the case for guys from here because, you know, I mean, if your family lives in Alberta and you're playing in Toronto, it's not like they're going to be living in your doorstep all the time. But if your family lives in Mississauga, you may be fending off ticket requests all the time or things like that. But yeah, look, I think you have to be a certain type of person to play in this marketplace, but. What I think we saw happen last year, and you're certainly a lot more closer to it than I am, but I really got the sense that we finally saw the development in Toronto of a culture where the locker room is kind of a cocoon. And I mean that in a positive sense. I don't mean it necessarily in a negative sense, but that it is kind of an island of stability. And regardless of how crap your day may have been, if you're Mitch Marner or whatever, just, you know, young guys have a bad day. You get into that environment and it's kind of warm and welcoming and it's a little bit protective. And I think maybe this is just a manifestation of that. And that's something that Lou Lamoriello and Brendan Shanahan and to a certain degree Mike Babcock deserve credit for. Because I do think the one thing you always heard about Yankees players is, you know, it could be a pain in the ass getting to the stadium, parking your car, all that stuff. Traffic was bad. But once you were in the clubhouse, you were a Yankee, you know, and that's it. And Yankee life was really good. And I think maybe we're seeing the development of that.
Well, I did feel a very different vibe with the Maple Leafs in that room last year than I have in the last 10 or 12 years. Certainly winning had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly youth had a lot to do with it. these guys liked each other, and they weren't afraid to show a little bit of personality. They didn't mind hanging out in the locker room a little bit longer, and I'm talking about the dressing area where the media and the players interact. So often players skedaddle to the training room or to the showers or wherever else, the little dining room they have there, and they never really wanted to hang out with journalists, but it's not like they want to hang out with us, but they're hanging out in their stalls, and they are, if Mitch Marner is at the center of a scrum, then Nazem Kadri is kind of making fun of him at the same time.
Right.
You never really saw that. You never really saw that the last decade until this year. And you know, you talk about, players having bad days. Well, you know what? They're like 19 and 20-year-olds. They're not really having bad days the way older players with family responsibilities and stuff like that to have bad days. But there's a youthful element to it and a winning element to it, but certainly it is a breath of fresh air.
What do you think the next move is for the Leafs right now? Is there a next move?
Oh, there has to be a next move. I talked to Mike Babcock yesterday, and his line to me was, well, they can't all be on the same team. They have like 19 NHL caliber forwards. They only have room. You only play 12, so mm-hmm. There's seven guys that have to go, all six, so they keep an extra. Some of those are around the edges sort of guys, like, Ben Smith or Eric Fair, but they have to make a decision on whether just Kasperi Kapanen and Miro Aaltonen that they think are ready to play. They have to sign Connor Brown, and they just don't have the spaces for these guys. So I really do think they there's two guys, and I think two fairly big names are going to get moved before the season begins. I think what they'll have their eye on as a defenseman, a right-handed shot. But I'm asking for a friend. What team has a right-handed shot defenseman willing to part with? Because I don't see it out there. I heard you and Ren talking about Drew Doughty. If Drew Doughty comes, that's another $12 million player in a couple of years. So like, I don't think you need another $12 million guy. Where I see the Leafs have been linked to Anaheim, but that was before the expansion draft, and Anaheim was worried they'd lose a defenseman for nothing. The one team that sort of intrigues me, where you might be able to find a defenseman, is the Carolina Hurricanes. They're a team that's sort of in the same boat as the Leafs. They really not that much difference between them, but the Carolina's built on defense first and could use some offensive players. And if you could find a way to get one of Carolina's young defensemen, maybe even Noah Hannafin, I don't know, maybe Justin Falk, but you can see that the price would be high for those guys. But the Leafs have an excess of scoring forwards, so that would be the kind of price they'd have to pay.
Who do you think are the? You talked about a couple of veterans. Do you see JVR being on the trade block? Do you see that happening, or where do you think this team goes with him?
I think JVR is the most likely candidate to be traded. Now, what I think the right play for the Leafs to do is to sign him to a long term deal. I think that makes him more valuable as a trade commodity. But the return has to be a quality defenseman, because that's where they're really lacking.
What do you think the decision to bring a guy like Ron Hainsey in here means? Is he just simply replace Matt Hunwick? Is it that simple? He's kind of the older head who's going to kind of help these guys along the road.
Yeah, he's a cheaper version of Matt Hunwick. Matt Hunwick got a raise to go to Pittsburgh, so they're at the point they know what their salary cap constraints are. So, Dominic Moore is cheaper than Brian Boyle. Ron Hainsey is cheaper than Matt Hunwick. They both essentially do the same job. Maybe they're a step down. I'm not quite sure that Hainsey is a step down from Hunwick, but maybe because of his age, he is. But there's stopgap situations. I mean, maybe Dominic Moore is not signed to a deal if Frédéric Gauthier is not injured in the AHL playoffs and they go with him.
Mm-hmm.
But they're sort of stopgaps. They're good guys. They're really, all three of them are really good skaters, despite their age. Hainsey, Moore, and Marlow are still very, very good skaters. And that's one thing that Babcock is high on. His line to me yesterday is, you're not old you're not old until your skating goes. Because as long as you can skate, you can get to the right places if you're smart and you're coached well and you're playing a system. So I don't think that Hainsey is necessarily a step back from Matt Hunwick. He's probably at least equal, and that he's cheaper makes him that much more valuable to a team that's kind of got some weird salary cap stuff going on.